Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
At all the campuses today. Come on, you can make some noise, St. Louis. You can be seated if you're good looking. If you're ugly, remain standing. We want to pray for you today. Hey, listen, something exciting is happening there in St. Louis tomorrow night, Monday night, at our Earth City campus. Every campus is involved. We want you to be involved in it. It's called our Next Step Night. You know how we're always talking about Growth Track here? And trying to get people to go in Growth Track. Why do we want that to happen? We want that to happen because you and I need to connect with other people. One of our statements here is people connect, families grow, and what, church? Lives are changed. So the way that you connect with God oftentimes is connecting with other people. So tomorrow night at Earth City, Nicole and I will be there, and it's a next step kind of fast-tracking Growth Track. We teach it, and then we eat and hang out. So if you're at a campus and you can't come tomorrow night, go to one of the, if you're at Sunset Hills, go up in the elevator and there at Earth City. I know there's thousands of people there today. If you go to the left, it's, right there, be your right, my left, there's a room there for Next Steps. Each campus has that, but tomorrow night's the night where you get to hang out with Nicole and I. We want to be a part of that. Aren't you glad you go to a church where you can actually meet people that are nice and sweet and the greeters? And, go ahead. Come on, Florida. Make some noise on that one. When Nicole and I first started the church, we went to a church and we realized that we walked in, nobody knew us, nobody said anything. We left, nobody said anything. We said, if we ever build a church, because we felt God calling us to do that, we're going to build a church kind of like Cheers. Remember the old show, I Want to Go, where everybody knows my name? I know it dates me. Young people, Google it. It was a real show. I want to know, I want to go where? All right, can you imagine being in business with somebody that would rip you off, that would steal the profits, that would get you to a place in space to where they were telling you one thing, but then they were cooking the books? How many of y'all would not want to do that? Raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, I'm assuming you're the person that's doing that to the other person. It's actually a point of honor, honoring. And so today I want to talk a little bit about honoring God, cracking the code, if you please, on your finances. Here's one of the things that I've learned in life is there's usually always, in most people's lives, a little bit more month than there is money. They need more. If you're not in a space like that, you're like, I got tons of money. I definitely want to see you tomorrow night. We need to talk, okay? How many of y'all understand where I'm coming from? But oftentimes, it's not that necessarily that we don't have enough money. Maybe we're not managing the money properly, and it all starts back with the Bible. The Bible has everything we need to know about life and godliness is contained in that space and place called honoring God. The Bible said when we honor God, he honors us. It says when we lightly esteem God, he lightly esteems us. Now, let's go here. On the screens, it says this, 1 Samuel 2:30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said, indeed, your house, that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. That's a promise that God made to his people. But now, the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. It's clear here that God is saying, honor me and I will honor you, but if you treat me lightly, I will treat you lightly. And how many of y'all have been in some situations where you really needed God to show up in a big way, right? Let's try that again. How many of y'all have been in some situations you needed God to show up, right? You don't even need God till you need him, but it's like it doesn't even matter. But then all of a sudden when you need him and he shows up, it's important. But in the area of your resources, it's important that we realize that faithfulness makes a big difference. We just saw here, if you lightly esteem God, he lightly esteems you. But then why does God honor some people in certain areas, but he doesn't honor them in other areas? Because the area in which you focus on tends to manifest in your life. You see some people that says, I'm going to work out, and they discipline themselves, and over time,
the benefits of them working out and eating right showed up. There's other people that said, I'm going to do this education or that. Whatever you tend to focus on manifests in your life. In other words, if you're faithful with it, it's going to show up. Luke 16 says this. It says, if you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest, everybody shout that, dishonest. In the little things, you won't be honest with the greater responsibilities. In other words, you've heard this statement. When people show you who they are, believe them. You won't be honest with the greater responsibilities. But if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things that are your own? In other words, if we don't honor our boss, if we don't honor our work, and we go, oh, this is a man, he's trying to take everything from me, I want to do as little as possible, then what we're doing is we're actually setting ourselves up for other people. If God were to elevate us, we're going to draw those type of people. Think about this. Years ago when I was young, that was a lot of years ago, right? But I was a kid, and I was serving at church and hanging out at church, and I just loved church. Anybody else just love church? I mean, not everybody, but I just love church. I like going to church. I like being with people at church. I just love church. I played church at home. That's how bad it was at my house. I had a little tree house that my dad never finished, and I would stand on it. It was a platform, and I would sing, and my cousin Tammy would come over, and we'd have church. I'd lay hands on my little brother, have him put his arm in his coat, and then God would heal him. It would come out, and I'd like, praise God! I tried to receive an offering, but they were broke. Come on, somebody. But I love church. Now, not everybody's that way, but I had a purpose in my heart that I was going to do that. And because I went down that trajectory, I went down that path, God blessed me in that area. So if we don't bless God and we don't trust God with our finances and we're unfaithful, trust me, you won't be faithful in other areas. Proverbs 11, verse 1. The Lord detests, that's kind of anybody detests something like low-fat cookies? You make a face, detest it. The Lord detests dishonest scales. So if the Lord detests it, it's not good. He detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. So when we're honest, you find a credit card and you give it back. You find money on the street and you give it back. You take your life and go, my life is not my own. It's yours, God. That song we sang at every campus today, where it says, my whole life for your glory. Did you love that song? It's just pure. And that's, we get really off when it's not about God. Then God has the ability to bring you favor wherever you're at. Now, I have a guy who's getting ready to marry my daughter. He went through a rigorous interview process. I spoiled her so bad. I messed her up so bad. We were at the mall this week, and she was carrying her bags. And she said, I hate it when Paris isn't here. I have to carry my shopping bags. And I thought, I better carry him. And I thought, nope, that's her man's job. But y'all want to know the real reason? We were at the mall with her mom, and I didn't want her mom to go, hey, listen here, you're spoiling her. I get that too much, okay? But Paris works at the Ritz-Carlton there in St. Louis, and on Friday, he calls me, and he's trying to get a hold of the family. He's calling, and he FaceTimes me, and he said, you won't believe who I'm waiting on right now. I'm waiting on Adam Sandler. He says, I'm going to put you in my belt loop as I go to serve him right now on FaceTime. Don't say anything. You can see it. Come on. He's walking, but he's so skinny, his phone slides down, and it fades to black. He's showing me everything. I'm not saying nothing. He goes back in the back room. He said, what do you think? I'm like, it went to black. You told me not to say anything. I couldn't say. I don't want you to lose your job. You're going to marry my daughter. He said, oh, let me try it again. So he went back that time. And then a few minutes later, get this, he calls and he says, you won't believe this. Adam Sandler and Vanilla Ice and several other movie stars, they invited me to play basketball with them today. I said, Paris, you got to go. I'm talking about favor right now. He went and talked to his manager, and they said, you can't go. We're not going to let you go. And I said, today is the day you need to quit your job. Come on, somebody, right? You're gonna meet some people that are power players, and then you're gonna introduce them to me, and I'm gonna be in a movie. I'm about to be discovered. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've heard of Brad Pitt, but I'm Army Pitt, his other brother, okay? But look at this picture. A few months later, he goes, yeah, there's Paris with Adam Sandler, and we cropped out a bunch of other movie stars. But I'm talking about a regular guy who got up early this morning, went to church, serving Jesus, honoring the Lord, and God found him and blessed him. Somebody ought to give God praise today. So here's my point. God notices how we handle money. He notices how we handle situations. And to much is given, you know this, much is required. Let's say that again for the people that didn't know. To much is given, much is required. You've been given a lot.
That's right.
You've been given good looks. Look at your neighbor and go, oh, well. You've been given a great personality. Sometimes that's the way people describe you when you haven't been given good looks. She's got a great personality. You about to meet an ugly girl. Come on, somebody. All right, so I got this slide I want to put up. When we are honorable with what he puts in our hands, he opens doors that no man can shut. So again, the manager didn't like Paris that much, and the manager said, you can't go. And then I said, hey, you show up to work all the time. You've been there for years. And Nicole coached him and said, yeah, when you read the Ritz-Carlton Experience, it says, ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen, and the customer has asked for you to go. And so he went. Then he came back because his boss said, if you leave, don't come back. He came back, talked to HR, and they said, you did exactly what you wanted to do. Maybe we need to get rid of your manager. You've been faithful. You've been here. And he got to play ball and keep his job. So then if he's got a job, he gets to marry my daughter. Come on, somebody. Yeah. My point is that when people try to hold you back, when God gives you an opportunity, nobody can cut that off. Now, you can't cut corners by ripping God off. By not honoring God. And it starts with the little things in your life. Cracking the code. Talk about tithing for a minute. The word tithe means 10%. Tithe means 10%. It doesn't mean the last 10%. It means the first 10%. And I want to tell you a story. There's a guy who, if you're at Sunset Hills today, if you go over into the gym, there's a big plaque with this guy's name on it. I won't say his name, but it says his name because he gave $1 million to help build that church. You're like, well, I wish my name was on the building. If you give $1 million, your name can be on whatever. For 1.5, I'll tattoo you on my arm. Yeah. I got Nicole's name on here, and she never paid. Well, she did. Apparently, this is paid advertisement. So now he believed in tithing, okay, and he honored God, and God honored him. And he sold his business, and God blessed him, and he honored God. But then he started hanging out in places, in spaces where the boats were a little bigger. And instead of 100 foot, it was 150 foot. And instead of this, it was this. Instead of this, it was that. Instead of, well, what we could do is buy a Bugatti, and then I got this new roller, and I've got, and all this stuff became about him. When he first started, he was faithful because he didn't have a lot. But then when you get a lot, it's kind of tough, okay? Pause this story, start mine. I met Nicole. She asked me to marry her. It's my story. And right before we got married, she said, I want to talk about money. I thought, oh, gosh, she's got student loans. She's broke because she did live in an apartment. She got this kid. But you know what? She's hot. Forget it. I'll figure this thing out. So she said, no, I have money. I tithe. I said, my dad's going to love you. I said, how much? She said, well, right now I'm making about $100,000 a month. To which I said, a month? She said, yes. And I said, I've never loved anybody like this in my life. Right now, on one knee, I got something to tell you. I do not believe in prenuptials. It sets people up for failure. I believe that whatever's mine is yours. I ain't got nothing, okay? Whatever's mine, all of it, it's yours. And then whatever is yours is mine. It's a covenant with God. It's the way we're going into this thing. That's it.
we got married. I went down the aisle like, yeah! The girl hot and she got money! Then she, I worked for the church. My dad was the pastor, and I made, it was either $574 a week or $578 a week, something like this, 28 years ago. Still low, low pay. And she writes a check for $10,000 to the church, and that was kind of okay, but not okay. The next month, she wrote one, and I'm like, hang on, that's a lot of our money to be given away. She says, God, lower my salary to the point to my husband would be comfortable with returning the tithe. And I'm like, don't play like that. Stop it. Everybody shout, stop it. I'm like, don't do that. She goes, well, that God blessed me, and we're supposed to honor. Then all of a sudden, I got alone, and I got to thinking, wow, that's kind of wild. I'm saying, that's a lot of our money. 2 months ago, I had no money. I win the marital lotto. Come on, somebody. I win the lotto. God gives me all of this. I get a kid that's 8 years old. I never changed a diaper. Check that. I got a long-legged, gorgeous girl that already paid for her student loans. Check that. She's got a job. She's winning trips. I'm going on these vacation trips with her. I don't have an education, but I've got a lot of personality. Everybody wants up at the top to meet with the people. I'm having dinner with the presidents of organizations, and they would ask me what I do. I don't want to tell them I make $578 a week and work at a church. I would say this, I'm a go-getter. I take her to work and then I go get her. And they're like, we love this guy. They forgot about what I did. They're like, whatever he does, he must be good at it. My gosh, he didn't even dress what he does. What a beast. But at the end of the day, what was happening is I walked away sad, returning the money that God gave us, her, the ability to make. Raise your hand if this makes sense to you. So now all of a sudden I said, okay, God. And then God started blessing us more and more because I got on the bandwagon that she was on and said, I'm going to honor God. Okay? Back to the guy that gave the million. Malachi, let's go there. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes, not part, not some. Come on, roll palm, listen to me now. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. In other words, you can't just send it to your favorite TV evangelist. You can't say, I'm going to use this money to help my neighbor who's in trouble. I'm going to use this money for a mission trip. No, the tithe, the 10%, goes to the storehouse or the. So there might be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open up the windows of heaven and I will pour you out a blessing so great you will not have enough room to take it in. Then he says, trust me, put me to the test. So now the guy gives the million. He starts hanging out with the wrong people. He starts lusting for other things. Lusting for a bigger car, lusting for a bigger house. And at one point, his house that he was in was so nice that Billy Joel, the singer, bought the house. I had a room inside the house, like the quarters out back where we stayed. But it wasn't quite big enough to impress people, so he sold all that and rented a house and started paying $60,000 a month for rent because he needed to live in this neighborhood so people thought that he was this. See how this is going way off the rails? And don't judge him because you're doing the same thing with that Louis bag you could not afford. Come on, somebody right now. Y'all walking in here with stolen bags in church singing, my whole life for your glory, my whole world. My bag tells a story. You're a crook. You stole that bag. I would never steal the bag. You stole it from God. So then we don't pass the test over the little, so God can't raise us up with the more. Somebody ought to help me right now. So when we offer God all that we have, God offers us all that he has, and what he has pales in comparison to what we have. Okay. Raise your hand if this makes sense to you. Look at your neighbor and say, I'll explain this to you later. Open up the 37. So now the guy keeps ripping off God. Notice when you don't honor God, God doesn't honor you.
And the guy started making dumb decisions, one of which I just told you of. And he went completely broke after selling his business for $70 million. I want to introduce you to a guy at our church. His name is Sheldon. And Sheldon started going to church at this high school many, many years ago. And Sheldon would hear me say every couple weeks, I said it like two times, someday we're going to have an office somewhere and it's going to have a room that seats like 120 people so I could have like a small group on a Tuesday night. I could broadcast from there. So I said it here. Then I went to St. Louis, didn't say it, came here and said it. And then I meet him in the hallway and he goes, hey, excuse me, I'm a business guy and me and my wife, strange situation. We end up buying some property and it's a church. It seats 120. It has another room that seats 120. It's offices. We paid like $1.8 million for it. It needs about $1 million worth of work. But if you want it, I would like to donate it to the church. Would you want it? And I said, is the Pope Catholic? It's in rural Palm Beach, Florida. It's across from Kentucky Fried Chicken. What more could a guy want? Come on, you're sitting there right now, rural Palm. So I said, okay, so now God blesses him, and he's a tither, right? It means first 10% goes to God. So when he did this, I thought of Sheldon's story versus the other guy's story, and here's what I probably would have done. When you give that kind of money, I would tell God, hey, just so you know, God, come here. Hey, we're caught up on tithing for like a long time. I've got a list. We're like $3 million deep into this, so hey, we're good, right? That's what I thought he would do. But oh no, he kept tithing while he paid off that building, while he spent $1 million because the city made him put in palm trees and made him asphalted, he kept tithing, okay? So now I start talking to this guy. He starts talking to me about tithing and how he honors God. Then now he keeps honoring God. And then recently he sold his business for $75 million that he started with $100 in Florida. And he tithed off that money. I was so glad he wasn't Baptist. Come on, so I was like, oh, thank God. Thank God he's not Baptist, because we also needed that money right then. Because remember, we still owe like $19 million on the buildings that you're sitting in today that helped us with Fairview and so on. So when he sold the business, I asked him what he's going to do next. He said, I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to tell the story. And I wanted him just real quick at every campus to tell the story of his book, because I actually asked him, he didn't bring it last night, but I had him bring it. This is the book. And he tells a story, which I'll let him tell for a minute. But I told the story about the money, even though most people would be uncomfortable, he is too, talking about it. Because a lot of times people say, oh man, I bet I could talk to him about paying my bills. There's sport players, go to our church, all kinds of people. Don't make them your source, make God your source like he did. And then you don't have to run to them, you run to him, okay? So I asked him, you know, he wrote the book, tells the story. And so I said, he said, I just want to give it to everybody at Faith Church this weekend. They paid the shipping and handling or whatever. So they're going to put up a slide. Again, he's not a sales guy. Obviously, when he got $75 million, he did not go get a gold grill smile. There's no gold grill. There's no, like, Bentley out there rolling deep. There's not a bunch of bling coming off on. See what I'm saying right now? If you saw him at Walmart, you're not going to think, I bet that guy just sold his business for $75 million. But his heart was positioned towards the Lord, and he honored God, and God honored him. All right. Can you tell your story just a little bit?
Just a little part of our story. You know, we, like Pastor David said, we started with $100. And we moved here, and we were so broke after that because we didn't have no money, no place to live, no income. So we ended up starting this trash hauling business, hauling construction debris. And that went on for quite some time, loading trash by hand. I don't know if some of you guys don't know. That's hard work. But then we went broke and restarted over, went broke again. It's all by the economy, and then we restart over. Then when the market crashed in 08, we really went broke. Actually, went down to almost nothing. And then when we went to restart, what took place, my daughter actually told me I can't quit because I was going to quit, and so we restarted. And at that point, I got to receive this revelation from the Lord, unless the Lord builds a house, you labor in vain. And I said, okay, he's talking about my business. I had no idea that meant that. I've read the scripture before. So I surrendered our company to the Lord, and I realized I've been doing this for 25 years, going broke over and over and over, and tithing the whole time, and just like things weren't working. And when I gave the business to the Lord, it was a total miracle, because God started doing miracles everywhere as I went. He gave us the job. I didn't even have to ask for it. And he brought us employees, and through the whole process, the enemy was attacking us all over the place, trying to take us out of Miami, trying to take us out of some of the key places we were in. And then that didn't work, because God showed up and delivered us. And then even after my health, and that didn't work, thanks to Pastor David's prayers. But what took place then in that 10-year period, when God was on the throne of our business and I was doing just whatever he told us to do, he took our business from nothing in 10 years to a sale of $75 million. And on top of that, he brought the buyer. I was not looking for a buyer. I loved what I was doing. And that's a miracle what can happen in your life when you just surrender everything to the Lord and let him do the work and just do what he says to do.
Isn't that a beautiful story? Give it up for Sheldon. Come on now, every campus. Now, I want you to take out your phone if you want the book. If you want the book, get out your phone, take a picture, because if everybody at all the campuses tried to do it now, it'll probably shut down our internet and it won't work, okay? So that sometimes happens. But if you take a picture of it and order it later, all you got to do is, he just wants to give the book to you. But you got to pay for the shipping, and of course, there's syllabuses. He's went all out to try to get the information that's in the book into people's hands. By the way, he did not ask me to do this. I just wanted him, and I could pick out all kinds of people at our church to tell their story of how, when he came down, his wife borrowed $100 from somebody. I asked him if he paid it back. He said he did. And then sell it for $75 million. Plus, by the way, because he's honoring God the whole time and tithing, God begins to open up other businesses. He has more businesses. And I'm telling you that God wants to bless you. The question you have to ask yourself, can he? That question we started with. Would you get in business with somebody that would steal from you? When he said that the FBI came one day and arrested him, and he had to go to court for this, and the judge that he went before, they said he's never ever, he talks about it in the book, he's never not given people jail time. But because it was false and it didn't work and had the right favor on his life, God blocked that. And for the first time, that guy never gave him any time, which means his wife never got any time off from this guy. Come on, somebody, because he got to stay home. I'm here to tell you that God said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. So if you feel like you're getting like he was, I'm a dollar ahead, I'm a dollar behind, I'm a dollar ahead, a dollar behind, then put God up in your story, and all of a sudden now, we just read, it said the heaven's armies will open up the windows of heaven, and God says, I will pour out a blessing, you will not have room enough to contain it. And when you walk away with $75 million, how many of y'all would like to even, like you just, you walk away with a million, raise your hand, a million. Do I have any 500,000 in here? Come on, somebody. What about a quarter of a million? 250, okay? All right? So God, and we don't do this all the time. I just want to share with you. Every once in a while, I tell these stories, and you must know this. Right now, in America, even our church, only 8% of people tithe. Look around the buildings today, only 8% tithe. The people who are paying all the bills are those 8%. Subsequently, those 8%, like him and thinking the jurors and all different other kind of people at our churches in St. Louis and in Florida, these people really honored God and God honored them. Meanwhile, there's a group of people saying, I'm going to get all I can all I get, sit on my can, save it for a rainy day. Maybe the government will help you. That's not going to happen. Maybe this will happen. Maybe that. No. Listen, notice God doesn't say anything about giving the tithe. He says return the tithe. And can I have your watch just for 1 second? I'll give it back. Okay, beautiful watch. It's a Bulova. We could ChatGPT it, find out the value. Not a whole lot, but it's nice. It's a nice watch, but he didn't go out and say, I'm going to buy it. Bling, bling. It's going to hang off the side of me. It's going to be so big. When I'm on the front row, people are going to know. But watch this. Because you've been so good to the church, because I love you, because you're giving everybody your book, I want to give you this watch as a gift from me to you. He's looking at me like, okay. He's not excited.
because it was already his. I returned it to him. That's what the tithe, the Bible says, we return the tithe. So if God gave us breath, if he gave us an idea, if he gave us favor, then we can't come to church and go, God, my whole life, for your glory, my whole world. He said, I really don't have anything to give you today because you stole it. You got the watch still? What if I literally stole his watch? How many of y'all think that that would be a really bad idea? There's video cameras everywhere, lots of witnesses. I can't say I didn't steal it, but I just took it out of his pocket, put it in my pocket. This is exactly what we do. Now, can you go to heaven as a thief? There's discussions about that in the Bible. I err on the side of grace, so I believe God is very graceful. I think you're going to be surprised when you get to heaven who's there. And I think you're going to be surprised who's not there. But I will say the Bible said, let him that stole steal no more. So when we steal from God, really what we're doing is we're stealing his ability to unlock God's blessing in our life. Thank you, Sheldon. Can you give it up for Sheldon one more time? I got a slide. Tithing isn't about losing money. It's about inviting multiplication into your life. Exodus 23:19. I'm almost done. Bring the best of the first fruits. Every campus, shout it. Why? First fruits. Weldon, Ferguson, everybody. What does it say again? Of your soil to the house of the Lord. Where do you bring it? To the house of the Lord. Not your last, your first. So what God is saying is he wants to be honored first. God always wanted to be first, not because he's greedy, but because he's worthy, because he's holy. In fact, because he's holy, the rest becomes holy when we honor God by returning the tithe. Leviticus 23:10. It says, when you enter the land I'm giving you, get excited about that, man. God's getting ready to give you some land, give you an idea, give you a concept. By the way, I want to pause and say this about that guy. He didn't cure cancer. He didn't start a biometrics company. He didn't like have this genius idea. He said he was delivering garbage by hand. Everybody can do that. I'm gonna try it over here. I said, everybody can do that. One idea blessed of God can do more than a billion ideas that are not blessed of God when you're at the house of God, around the people of God, serving God. Trash. You can walk away with $75 million. Even the guys today are going to go home and take out the trash. Like, I'm taking the trash out at home today. When you enter the land I'm giving you and you harvest its first crops, not last, first crops, bring the priest and the bundle of the grain, the first cutting, not the last, the first cutting of the grain to the harvest. God always wanted to be first because he deserves to be first. And if we put God first in our income, he blesses the rest. It's the principle of the first fruit. This is a bike lock. It's got a code. I ran out of time because of all the comedic entertainment that I exercised this morning. And what I would do right now is I was going to bring somebody up and give them the code, see if they could open it. They had all the right numbers, but they wouldn't be able to open it because the sequence is off. I would try it with like three people. Then on the third person, I would go, okay, I'm gonna help you and I'm gonna actually tell you the code. And they would get the code in right sequential order and then it would open. All three people had the code, but they did not have the sequence right. And whenever you get it on a sequence and you start paying all of your bills first, you start doing whatever you want to do with it first, you do not unlock the safe or the code to unlock the ideas and the possibility that God has for you. Here's another slide for you. Giving is a spiritual barometer. It's God looking at us and going, hey, do you have money or does money have you? There's a huge difference. The guy who I started with earlier who was a tither, then he decided against it and lost everything. Versus this guy who decided to go with it and stayed with it and still has everything because he's grounded. He's wearing a Bulova, guys, and no dig on a Bulova. It's a step up from a Swatch. Come on, somebody. It is. I'll give you that. But there are some watches that really, really say, looks like I made it. Look at me. Here, and no digs on people that got nice watches. Somebody in Orlando gave me this watch. I didn't even know. I said, that's so nice. Thank you. I put it on. Then I ChatGPT'd it. And it said it was $4,000. And I'm like, I should have really thanked that guy. I wish I had his number. If you're watching today, thank you. I really like the watch. But I've given a lot of watches away. What you sow, you reap. But tithing's not sowing. Tithing is returning. It's the first. I want everybody to stand with me and pray this prayer with me today. And again, I want you to, even on Facebook, I want you to go back and get that book because his story, Sheldon's story, is very inspirational. Did you find his story interesting today? Raise your hand if you found it. Just a normal guy. You can tell he's not a public speaker. Loves God. It's church every Sunday. Every Tuesday. He's there on Saturday. The guy loves Jesus. God's like, oh man, I can use this guy. You ever got some people that call and ask for $100? Could you cash me $100? And you're like, oh no, I'm never seeing that money again. Come on, raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, we're assuming you're the person that's texting us. In fact, I think, and sometimes it's good when somebody texts you like that, if you never want to see him again, go ahead and give him $100. They're just gone forever. But we don't want to be that way to God. We want God to look at us and go, well done, thy good and faithful servant. What about my business, Pastor David? Well, it depends if you want it blessed or not. He tithed off his business. I've seen people do both. That's just too much. Well, unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. Is it too much? Can you fully obey God? Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to pray this prayer out loud. Every campus, say it with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I have committed my life and my heart towards you. But now today, I commit my finances. I'm in a situation right now where I'm not seeing overflow. I'm a little uptight about my financial future. But I believe that if I honor you, I saw it in your word today, you will honor me. Not with my last fruits, but with my first fruits. I'm setting up a system that allows me to honor God so God can honor me. Now look at me just for a second. I want to pray for you. Now that you prayed that prayer as your pastor, I want to pray a special blessing over you. Father, I just decree and declare right now that the blessing and the favor of God will encamp around every person in the building at Weldon. I see you there right now. Ferguson, I see you there right now. I can see Fairview Heights in the beautiful lobby that you walked in. All the people that are there. I see every person at Sunset Hills all the way under the balcony right now. I can, in my mind, I preach there every other week, and I see our city packed all the way back to the bathrooms. I saw some of you come in late. Come on, somebody. I didn't. But God, I pray right now that your joy hits them, that your favor hits them, and it'll not be this way next year. I thank you that they're blessed, they're favored, they're anointed, they're strong, they're prosperous. Like Paris, they're going to be at the right place at the right time for you to open up a door of opportunity. And God, what a better time than today to start doing what you said, because right now we don't have enough. If it's not enough to meet our need, we make it our seed. And God, as we go forward in faith and victory, I decree and declare that the devil is bound, the power of God is loose. I speak blessing over businesses, ideas, concepts, employees. I say that people that have sued your organization, that thing is settled up, it is buttoned up, and as you honor God, God will honor you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand of praise. Was that all right for today? Did you enjoy it?